Okay, so we're continuing along. We last week did the introduction in the beginning of a bracha. Well, we're going to get a little more into the bracha. So up to Alan Tils Yadayim. So we know upon getting up in the morning, one of the very first things Chazal have us do every day is wash our hands, washing Negel Vasser every morning. The bracha Alan Tils Yadayim is the first bracha we say every single day. Chazal ask, why do we wash our hands? So, different answers. Some say it's because we're worried during the night. We may have touched a part of the body that requires washing of our hands. Others say because when we get up in the morning, we're similar to a Kohen who's coming to do the Avodah, and just like he has to wash his hands and feet, so we have to wash our hands before we come to do the Avodah. Others say because we're Biri Chadasha, there's Ruach Ra. But no matter what the Chazal you want to work with, we're purifying ourselves to do our own Avodah Hashem. So the question they ask is, if we're cleaning ourselves and purifying ourselves, why just the hands? We're coming to do tefillah. What do we do tefillah with? We do tefillah with our mouths. Why don't we have to wash our mouths, make a bracha, to do something like that? Also, why do we say al netilas yadayim? We should say something more that has to do with washing, like rechitzas yadayim. So we know that hands represent action. And we use our hands to act to survive. As Rav Shimshon Pinchas says, they're the kli ma'aser that we have. With the power of our hands, though, comes a challenge, as they can be used, as we mentioned, with other things. They can be used for positive or for negative. So simply, we say Alan Tils Yadayim. The simple translation, some say, is it's a loose translation of Rechitzas Yadayim. However, Chazal really chose the word Netila based on the pasuk of Vayinatlem Vayinaseim, that he lifted them. And what we're saying every morning is that we're lifting our hands to Hashem. And Rav Shimshon Pinchas explains, a person's hands could be found in three different positions. They could be in the upwards position, straight in front of him, or in the downwards position. He says, the only time we find the hands in all three positions is by a guy. By Klal Yisrael, they're only in two positions. They're either upwards or they're straight in front of us. They're either up when we're doing tefillah, or they're straight in front of us when we're doing something with our hands. And he proves this. He's from the name of Shin Dalad Yud, which is the seal from the Bris Mila. He says the Yud is the actual Bris. The Shin is when our hands are up in the air, so we form a Shin. And again, when we're doing something in front of us, we make the Dalad, with our hands, with our body, and therefore we see our hands are Kadosh, and we're making this Bracha now, Alam Tehil Sidayim, on this Kedusha. And we're asking Hashem that our hands, which can be used either for good or for bad, that he should help us, that they should always be uplifted to him and serve him only for the good. And we also have to be careful with a second trap, and that's of Kochi Votzim Yadi. And we have to remember that it's not our hands that are accomplishing, but it's only with Hashem's help that we accomplish using our hands. And therefore we wash them and say Alam Tehil Sidayim to remind us that our hands are lifted up towards Hashem, and that everything we have only comes from Hashem, to whom our hands are lifted to. So that's Alam Tehil Sidayim. As we move to the next bracha of the morning, Asher Yatzar. So simply, in this bracha, we're acknowledging that Baruch Hashem, everything's functioning normally, we're healthy, and that alone is a gift from Hashem. The famous 19th century naturalist Alexander von Humboldt commented, after going through different prayer books of many religions, that there's no other prayer in any religion like Asher Yatzar by us. And most of us take this normal functioning for granted. And unless one has pain or he goes to a doctor and Chas V'Shalom, a doctor tells him, all's not well, we tend to ignore some of these crucial life-sustaining systems that go on inside our body. And it's therefore important to utilize this bracha to focus our recognition towards Hashem that it's only due to his miracles, due to his nisim, that our body is functioning normally. And the Shulchan Aruch deviates and digresses from the normal halacha when he comes to this bracha, and he goes through the meaning of this bracha, which he doesn't do anywhere else really in Shulchan Aruch. And Asher Yatzar, he says, emphasizes the wisdom with which man was created. The body is a delicate machine. It's a compilation of organs that are prone to sickness and can stop functioning properly at any time. And we therefore thank Hashem for his kindness in maintaining each and every organ in the body, ensuring that each organ performs the complicated and delicate task assigned to it in an efficient and constructive manner. He also, Hashem, created our body with the ability to process our food. that the body knows which things are the good aspects in the food, sends that into the proper organs, and it eliminates the harmful components from us. And that ability to choose the good from the bad is an extremely difficult and remarkable feat that obviously only a body with the help of by Hashem can take care of such a thing. And the fact that the Shulchan Aruch digresses and delves into this meaning of this bracha should indicate the importance and of this bracha of Asher Yatzar. And we should all realize that we don't have any power on our bodies functioning. The internal organs are controlled directly by Hashem with no input from us. And therefore, we should be sure to show the gratitude to Hashem for this constant, wondrous kindness that He gives us by reciting the Asher Yatzar properly every time the opportunity presents itself. Rav Shimshon Pinkus points out there are two bracha aruchos. Now, bracha aruchos, just as a refresher again, is a bracha that starts with a baruch and ends with a baruch. There are only two of those that have no bakasha, no request in them. That's Asher Yatzar and Borei Nefoshos. We don't ask in Asher Yatzar that we do not become sick, and we don't ask in Borei Nefoshos that we should have food. And he says, why is this? And he explains that there are certain things that just from the metzias of that action, from the metzias of what's going on, it's clear what's really needed. And when we say in Asher Yatzar, it's goli v'yadua, that there would be no kiyum in a person without you, it's obvious that we're saying to Hashem, you know what, I need health. And the same thing in Borei Nefoshos when we say that you know we're created with things that are lacking, and again, the only way we can survive is obviously then if you give us food. And he continues with Shimshon Pinkus and says, Hashem's known as the Elokim Chaim, and he wants man to live too. So we see that life is something, he says, that's equal by all men. The only difference when it comes to life is the length, or the type perhaps. Some people may live long, some people live shorter, some people might be smart, some not, rich or poor, but life itself is all through the will of Hashem. And it's only, he says, when it comes to things that have differences, that there you can ask for something. We say Atachonein for wisdom. We say Rifa'enu for health. Barachaleinu for parnasa. But by life, where it's goli v'yadua, that without you it's yevshel l'skayim l'fanecha, we don't have to ask and say, Hashem, please give me life. There's only 10 days a year this is different. And that's the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, where we say Zachreinu l'chaim, Chazmeinu l'chaim. And that's because at that point of the year, we're supposed to look at our life that we're on a scale at that moment. And at that moment, life can be snatched from us. And therefore, we have to therefore ask Hashem at that point, you know what, Hashem? When we are weighing where we're going to be on the living side or the not living side of the scale, put me on the living side. But typically, when we're going through the year and we're making the Asher Yatzar, since we know without Hashem taking care of us, we can't live, we therefore don't have to ask. And he continues that we have to be cognizant of the times when we're not feeling well. And use those moments, how off we feel at those times, how it's difficult sometimes to function when we're not well, and therefore be thankful now when we're feeling okay and feeling fine as we say this bracha. And he brings from the Sefer Seder Hayom that one who says Asher Yatzar with Kavana word by word, lo yichala kol yomav, he'll never get sick, v'lo yitzarech lerofe, he'll never need a doctor, v'lo for oso, and never for, I guess, medication. And this is, again, someone who realizes that this all comes from the bracha of all the good and chesed that Hashem takes care of us. And if we focus on it and do this bracha properly, the great bracha of not needing any outside help is certainly special. The Gemara of Bava Kamma tells us, Rabbi Yochanan says, that one who steals and the owner is not nisyayish, he hasn't given up hope to get his object back, neither of them can make it hegdish. The gazlan because it's not his, and the owner because it's not in his rishus. And the Gemara later in Bava Kamma then continues and says, so too is the halacha by pikadon. If one gets a pikadon from someone else and he denies it, he says, you know what, you never gave me anything. At that moment, he becomes a gazlan. And it's, again, no longer in the rishus of the owner. And therefore, again, neither of them can make it hegdish. But if the shomer is moda and says, yes, I do have it, so it still remains in the owner's property. And the owner could be mekadesh it if he wanted to. Rav Pinkus uses this Gemara and ties it to the bracha of Asher Yatzar. He says, one of the things that we're doing in this bracha is we're acknowledging that our lives are pikadon from Hashem. And that chas v'sholom, if im yipaseach or im yisosim, if something went wrong, we would not be able to exist. And it's only you, Hashem, who's in control of our body, that you give us life, and we're in your rishus. But if someone went ahead and says, you know what, I'm in control, you know, I take care of myself, I work out, I'm in charge, then Hashem hands our body off to us. And at that point, when neither one can be in charge at that point, that's when we run into trouble. So therefore, we have to always use this bracha to remember that we're just a pekadun from Hashem, and we're thanking Him and saying, yes, we belong to you, and everything comes from you. So we say, Asher yatzar es adam b'chachma. He fashioned man with wisdom. Rav Shimon Schwab explains that we're praising Hashem for the wisdom in the creation of the complex body. Tosfos says that the wisdom here is the wisdom in the way Hashem created the world, the fact that He first created food, and then He created man. And the Marsha explains that we're thanking Hashem for the innate wisdom that we have, something that the animals also have, all these digestive systems. But the difference between us and an animal is that wisdom that we have, and that's what we're thanking Hashem for, the Chachma. Then we continue, we say, V'aravo, Nikavim, Nikavim, Chalulim, Chalulim. He created with us with many openings and cavities. The Vilna Gaon just points out, Chalulim equals 124. And we repeat it to get 248, that we're including all the limbs, all the Evarim of the body. Goli v'yadua, it's obvious and known. The Vilna Gaon again says we're expressing that everything is known, we believe everything is known to Hashem. And Goli is going to the organs that we know how they function and what they're for. And v'yadua is for those that are hidden from us, but that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows the need of every organ in our body. Lifnei kisei chivodecha. So soon after the world was completed, the philosophers decided that, you know, Hashem created the world, but the world is very mundane, and therefore Hashem doesn't directly supervise us. And the Vilna Gaon says that the reason we say Lifnei kisei chivodecha here in such a bracha is to tell us that we believe that not only is Hashem involved in the day-to-day of the world, He's involved in our every move, including the need to go to the bathroom. And therefore, everything that takes place is from Hashem. And then we end this bracha, and we say, Rofei chol basar mafli la'asos, He heals all flesh and acts wondrously. So Rav Shimon Schwab says that we're thanking Hashem again for the normal functioning of the human healthy body. Rashi explains here that what we're thanking Hashem for is the ability to eliminate wastes, because when we get rid of wastes, it heals our flesh, it heals us. Rashi says also we're thanking Hashem because if one takes a balloon, makes one pinhole in the balloon, what happens? The balloon's going to deflate. What happens to our body? Our bodies are full with air. How many holes and openings does our body have, and yet we never deflate? So we're thanking Hashem for this wondrous act, this mafli lasos, that the body stays inflated. The Ramah tells us that we're thanking Hashem for the union, the nais of the neshama, which is purely spiritual, and the guf, which is thoroughly physical, that this can only work because of Rovei Chol Basar, that Hashem keeps us alive and makes this connection of the neshama and the guf. And using this Ramah, Rav Shimon Schwab also adds that the wisdom that man, that Hashem had in designing man over the animals, was that ability to attach the neshama and the guf, and that's why we repeat the nekavim, nekavim, chalulim, chalulim, is because we're discussing both the physical and the spiritual. So each one is representing one of them. And Rav Shimshon Pinkus says that just like we daven for our 248 limbs and 365 gidim, the evarim and the gidim, he says we're also davening for the 245 mitzvahs aseh that we do every day and the 365 mitzvahs lo aseh. Because he says that if even one machshava ra would enter our minds, we become unhealthy. And therefore we're asking Hashem, not only physically do we want to be healthy, but help us to keep our ruchnias healthy at the same time. And we'll close with a story and the homework. So the story is written, it's an essay written by this Dr. Kenneth Prager, who is a urologist in Columbia Presbyterian Medical Center. And he says when he was in elementary school in yeshiva, his classmates and him used to find it an amusing sign that was posted just outside the bathroom. It was the ancient bracha, commonly referred to as Asher Yatzar, which was supposed to be recited after one relieved oneself. For grade school children, there could be nothing more strange or ridiculous than to link acts of defecation with the holy words that mention Hashem's name. Blessings are reserved for prayers, for holy days, thanking Hashem for food, some miracles, but not for, obviously, the bodily function. and that especially that evokes smirks and giggles when it comes to kids. And it took several decades to realize the wisdom that lay behind this bracha that was composed by Abaya, a 4th century Amora. A Jew is supposed to recite this bracha after each visit to the bathroom. We young yeshiva students are reminded of this obligation by the signs that were posted just outside the doors. It is one thing, however, to post these signs, and it's quite another to realistically expect pre-adolescents to have the maturity to realize the wisdom of and need of reciting a 1,600-year-old blessing related to bodily functions. It was not until my second year of medical school that I first began to understand the appropriateness of this short prayer. Pathophysiology brought home to me the terrible consequences of even minor aberrations in the structure and function of the human body. At the very least, I began to no longer take for granted the normalcy of my trips to the bathroom. Instead, I started to realize how many things had to operate just right for these minor interruptions in my daily routine to run smoothly. I thought of Abaya and his blessing. I recalled my days at yeshiva and remembered how silly the sign outside the bathroom had seemed. But after seeing patients whose lives revolved around their dialysis machines and others with colostomies and urinary catheters, I realized how wise the rabbi had been. And then it happened. I began to recite Abaya's bracha. At first, I had to go back to my sitter to get the text right. With repetition, and there are many opportunities for a novice to get to know this bracha well, I could recite it fluently and with sincerity and understanding. Over the years, reciting Ashiyotzara has become for me an opportunity to offer thanks, not just for the proper function of my excretory organs, but for my overall good health. The text, after all, refers to catastrophic consequences of the rupture or obstruction of any bodily structure, not only those of the urinary or gastrointestinal tract. Could Abaya have foreseen the blockage of the cavity or lumen of the coronary artery would lead to the commonest cause of death in industrial countries some 16 centuries later? And then he continues, I'm going to skip a little bit. He says, there was one unforgettable patient whose story reinforced the truth and beauty of Ashiyotzara for me. Josh was a 20-year-old student who sustained an unstable fracture in his 3rd and 4th cervical vertebrae in a motor vehicle crash. He nearly died from his injury and required emergency intubation and ventilatory support. He was initially totally quadriplegic, but for a weak flexion of his right biceps. A long and difficult period of stabilization and rehabilitation followed. There were promising signs of neurological recovery over the first few months that came suddenly and unexpectedly. Movement of a finger here, flexion of a toe there, return of a sensation here. With incredible courage and hard work and an excellent physical therapist, Josh improved day by day. In time, and after what seemed like a miracle, he was helped to walk slowly with a leg brace and a cane. But Josh continued to require intermittent catheterization. I knew only too well the problems and perils this young man would face for the rest of his life because of a neurogenic bladder. The urologists were very pessimistic about his chances for not requiring catheterization. They had not seen this occur after a spinal injury of this severity. Then the impossible happened. I was there the day Josh no longer required a urinary catheter. I thought of a Abaya's Ashiyotzara tefillah, pointing out that I cannot imagine a more meaningful scenario for its recitation. I suggested to Josh, who was also a yeshiva graduate, that he say the tefillah. He agreed. As he recited the ancient bracha, tears welled in my eyes. Josh is my son. And it's, you know, obviously, you know, we should never come to moments where, you know, we need a reminder of what Chazal had in mind when they instituted these things, and we should take advantage of them and keep in mind, you know, what it is and how, you know, how many times you walk past people in the street and you just see how the bodies do not function and that we take it sometimes for granted, and just, you know, focus a little bit. And the homework for the week really is to focus really on one Ashiyotzara a day, just on what we're saying, and be thankful for everything that we have, that we're physically running well, spiritually running well, and just, you know, show that HaKaras HaTov to Hashem for everything that goes well.